dbkmediaservices.com. Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs and Bruce Knox.
Hello, SVC fans. Welcome once again to SVC Sports Talk. This is show 156, brought to you as always by Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe. I am Bruce Knox. The gentleman seated right across the table from me is the soothsayer of SVC Sports, SVCSportsZone.com's Mr. Shane Combs. Shane, how are you doing?
Doing really well, Bruce, and want to start the show by giving our thoughts and prayers to the people at Piketon here in our SVC family. I know it's been a tough week for them, and want to let them know that people all through the side of Valley Conference have had them on our mind this week.
Certainly have. It makes for a rough situation. We're recording again on Sunday night, and still lots and lots of questions about what's going on down there, but our thoughts and prayers certainly with them. Other things that are going on, testing at school, about done, I think, wrapping up. And school, of course, is on the downhill slide. You got to ask, does this impact spring athletes at all?
Yeah, somewhat. I think everybody's different. And again, testing is about done. We'll have a few more maybe this week coming up here, and then that'll pretty much finish it off. But I think everybody, Bruce, is probably different. We talk about routines, and we like our kids to stay in routines. You'll hear basketball and football coaches say throughout their respective seasons that they hate being out of school on a game day. Mm-hmm. Spring kind of offers you some of those weird school days, some of those longer days, not as much going on. I know one topic that comes up a lot with me throughout the entire year is seniors. Yeah. Seniors in the fall sport, the winter sport, obviously irreplaceable. Obviously in spring, it certainly doesn't hurt to have talented seniors, but I do think that brings on a different challenge in terms of, basically a lot of their school requirements are starting to wind down. They have a lot of fun things, kind of going in. So when you talk about getting out of routine and so forth. So, yeah, to answer your question, I would say a somewhat a challenge here down the road. You just look at your goals, your day to day. A lot of those seniors kind of have their plans that they're looking ahead to. So in some cases, they might have that one foot out the door, so to speak, and focus becomes a challenge. But, as I talk to kids, all throughout, the ones that have really had their mind set on some goals on the track, kids that have a lot of goals set, softball, baseball, and so forth, you'll still see those kids stay pretty hungry and so forth. So yeah, does it give you a challenge? Certainly, but it's not really anything that can't be handled with just a little bit of focus and a little bit of drive.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've had senioritis, but I have a different form of senioritis now. But I certainly think that it does affect the kids a little bit. They get a little bit more excited. Some probably get a little bit more apathetic about some things, and it just, I'm sure it messes with people. It's got to. So sure, testing is not like that. It takes us out of the norm routine, and I think it's gotta play with people's psyche a little bit more than maybe some of us older folks think about. So that's by the wayside now, and like you say, we're on the downhill slide. So, fans, I want to, again, bring in information about our billboard sponsor here, Triple Crown Family Fun Center, which is, of course, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, just off Bridge Street behind the Hampton Inn. Last week, I started the new Bruce's Delectable Treat of the Week. This week, I'm going to have me some onion straws, piping hot golden brown. I can taste them right now, and there's even enough to share with Shane if he doesn't overstep his bounds. Again, a great place for people of all ages. Next party or group event you have, just give them a call. Tell them what you want to do, and they'll set you right up. Give them a call at 773-PLAY. That's 740-773-7529. Again, just behind the Hampton Inn. So, Shane, while we're paying some bills here on the show, why don't you tell us and talk to the fans about C&K Athletic Equipment?
Yeah, C&K Athletic Equipment located up 116 East High Street in Circleville, Ohio. You can get a hold of them 740-477-9828 or visit them online, cnkathleticequipment.com. I noticed today on some Facebook and some Twitter that they have some neat things going on, baseball, softball, some nice tools. I know it was opening weekend here in our Little League locally down this way. It's always an exciting time to see kids really, I mean, goodness, I don't know, five all the way up to about 12 getting it going, and I'll go all the way through the summer. So again, coaches, parents, make sure you check out C&K Athletic Equipment.
All righty, appreciate that, and we thank them for coming aboard. Shane, our second round of league play started this past week for baseball and softball, and fans should be able to get maybe a better understanding of the standings now.
You'd think so, but you know, softball kind of had a little bit of a wrinkle in it. It looked like Uniota was going to really roll and get out in front here, and Westfall steps up and beats them, and that opens the door for Paint Valley. But unfortunately, the Lady Bearcats, they lose a heartbreaker to Zane Trace. So now they the Lady Pioneers complete the season sweep against the Lady Bearcats there. Obviously, the Newland girls tough to get to, but they always say the way you beat great pitching is you pitch great, and the Swackhammer girls certainly has done that. So basically what you have, Bruce, is you have Westfall finished with Uniota now, so they're still going to need some help because they're still that game behind. But, you know, Westfall, Zane Trace, Paint Valley beating up on one another. It kind of gives Uniota the inside track. Uniota, Paint Valley get together this Wednesday night. Obviously, Westfall, Zane Trace, and those others will be wearing the black and gold, hoping for some help there. But great opportunity for Paint Valley, maybe get back into it, give Westfall a much-needed boost. But at the same time, a great opportunity for Uniota to put that loss behind them and kind of take the stranglehold again. Baseball-wise, you know, not so much. We've talked about it all year, but this baseball thing's going to go all the way down to the wire. You may not totally understand what's going on until it's over. Zane Trace Adina, obviously making some space. You get Uniota, Southeastern, Paint Valley, Westfall kind of beating up on one another. But there's a lot of baseball to play. You look at the forecast this week. This is Sunday night as we're recording. Looks like we're going to play Monday, and then there's rain opportunity the rest of the week. Yep. So, you know, I guess rain favors Adina when you look at their pitching staff. Obviously, Zane Trace's pitching's a little bit underrated. Their offense, though, can really be a bear to handle if you start getting into matchups where you're facing Zane Trace with your number 2, 3, 4 on the mound. But when you look around the league with the likes of McFadden and Dye and Pop and Sigler and Griner, and you can, the list goes on and on right down the way. Anybody can beat anybody. Even Piketon has such great pitching depth. Coach Bumgarner has some really good young arms there. Huntington, the Conley kids, thrown the ball real well Monday, Friday. Pitched plenty well enough to beat Paint Valley or Southeastern on Monday, Friday, and just couldn't quite get enough defensive and offensive help. So, you know, it's a league that's going to go right down to the wire. Obviously, Zane Trace and Dean are right there in the driver's seat, but plenty of baseball to play. All sorts of things can happen.
Any other headlines that people should be following right now?
I would take a look headline-wise at the phenomenal matchup with Uniota, Paint Valley on the softball side. It's hard to look much past Wednesday. You know, people are going to wake up a lot of times on their routine, they tell me, and listen Tuesday morning. So if you're listening Tuesday morning and you're just a fan of SVC softball, that has to be the lead headline. And then on the baseball side, because it's such a factor, you probably should get your best weather app and really honestly take a look, because that is something that can be, like, for example, I know a lot of SVC teams are scheduled to play just about every night this week. So, you know, obviously have the Monday, Wednesday, Friday normal schedule, but I noticed some non-leagues in there. I know Paint Valley, Piketon have to play 10 innings of baseball on Tuesday night if weather permits. So there's a lot going on there. So really rain, unfortunately, could end up being the lead headline.
good old weather, it seems to always throw a wrench in the works. You never know what to expect, particularly here in Ohio. Well, fans, last week's email was an outstanding discussion piece that led to a great show. And this week, we've got a few more. Next, we'll look at one talking about what makes for a good coaching job. Well, Shane, we did mention email, and here's one that we got into the admin one at svcsportszone.com email box. It's a question regarding coaching positions, and it says, I heard you talking about the Adina and Westfall coaches last week, and I got to thinking about what makes a coach leave or stay, what makes a job a good job, etc., and what are your thoughts on this topic? Are these two openings good jobs? And, of course, they thank you for your time and your comments. So lots of good stuff there in that one as well.
Yeah, it's hard, Bruce, to say exactly why a coach might leave or stay. We talked the last couple of weeks about how this isn't what pays the bills. You know, you have your real jobs there, and you're supplementing your pay a lot of times on the side, but really what you're doing is you're just coaching something you really, really enjoy to do. And what happens sometimes is real life takes over. You know, a family situation, kids get a little older, other jobs, your hours change, whatever it might be. So that can certainly dictate. Sometimes it's just you need a change. Sometimes I'm sure you see a group through. You know, a lot of times coaches get accused of leaving when their talent graduates or so forth. And I'm sure that happens a little bit. But at the same time, a lot of times what happens, coincidence there, Bruce, is, you know, you get attached to a certain group. And you kind of stay with them through, and you just kind of see that as a time to kind of step away. So I can't really speak for each coach on why they step away, but those are some of the things that I know go into it. As I've been real, real good friends with a lot of coaches for many years. As far as moving through the email here and looking at what makes a good job, obviously I can only speak for myself, but the word that probably comes to my mind is resources. If you go into a job and the idea is to at least be there for, you know, 3, 4, 5 years to kind of give it a chance to see what's going to go, you start looking at your resources. Do I have paid assistants? What do those jobs pay? If I go out and I look for a JV assistant coach, JV coach, freshman coach, junior high coaches, little league helper, whatever, you know, are those paid positions? How much do they pay? Are there teaching jobs available? If I need to bring someone in who's a teacher, a lot of times that kind of goes into the focus of a school in terms of, you know, some schools have a little bit more of a basketball feel or a football feel or whatever it might be. And they kind of lean that way in terms of their teaching jobs, facilities. The money, thoughts on Little League, junior high, so forth, and let's be honest, talent. Sometimes, you know, when you're looking there, you know, what do I have to work with at least from day one? Do I have a chance to go in? Yeah, sure. It may be a rebuilding job. Do I at least have some pieces to the puzzle in place? So, those are probably some of the things. You know, as far as these two jobs being good jobs, I'll say this first from personal experience, Bruce, and then I'll try my best to break those jobs down. If you're a basketball coach and you love to coach basketball and it's been your goal to be a varsity coach, keep in mind there's only 16 varsity coaches, 8 boys, 8 girls in the league. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you're an SVC person, obviously if you're willing to travel around or to move your family or to do things, obviously that spreads out to a wider number. But if you're an SVC person, you know, you look at what's your school, where's your family live, what's your actual job. Are you a teacher? Are you working at Kenworth? Are you working, you know, wherever it might be locally? That eliminates several right there, I would think. You know, a lot of times, you know, if you have different family at different schools and so forth. So the opportunity to coach, first of all, doesn't come around every day. So if you love to coach, you're qualified to coach, and you've worked your way into the position to coach, anything is quote unquote a good job, because at the end of the day, at the high school level, you do it because you love it. You love to work with kids. You love to compete. You love the relationships that you build and so forth. So now, if I look at Adina Westfall, based on what I just said, again, any job's a good job. But I think if I follow what the email's saying, it's saying, is it a place you can go in and be successful and enjoy coaching and enjoy your experience? As far as Adina and Westfall go on the basketball and the boys' side, historically, not really, if I'm being honest. Those are two places where other boys' sports are kind of the boss, so to speak.
Yeah.
Obviously, at Adina, football, baseball, they love them. They love them some baseball there at Adina. Obviously, football's had some tradition. Westfall has historically been, even though they've been down here the last couple years, they've been more of a football school. Obviously, Coach Thomas does an incredible job with the baseball program. Yeah, I thought Jason did a great job there at Adina, but it's kind of a hit and miss thing if you look back over a 20-25 year period. So consistency is something that's really hard to come by there at Adina. You know, Westfall football, I'm hearing incredible things about. It's coming right back. You do have the Wyman kid back, which certainly, again, a piece I talk about in terms of building around that certainly helps. But again, the consistency is so hard. And gosh, I don't want to offend anybody here, but it's my job to be honest on SVC Sports Talk. Westfall's facilities aren't very good. It's just one of those things from a basketball standpoint. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, because if I'm outdated here, please, Westfall, let me know. But their junior high still plays in a cafeteria. I mean, it's one of those things where the high school gym's kind of an older field. The locker rooms aren't real great. So, again, I just don't know there with the Adina Westfall, if I'm looking at all the resources, if I would call them great jobs. But again, you just, if you love the opportunity to coach and it fits for you, then absolutely. But I guess if I'm following the email correctly, I'm just trying to be honest there.
Are there some potential coaches that are better suited for these particular jobs than others? I mean, I'm thinking about people who really excel in rebuilding a program, or people excel in establishing a program.
That's an outstanding follow-up question, Bruce. And you know, I guess as I start to think about that, I think of people. That's why a lot of times some of your best hires are in-house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that have a great understanding for community. And the reason I say that is I was hired as a pretty young coach at Paint Valley as a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I was more than qualified to do the basketball part. You know, I was more than qualified to go in and teach offense, teach defense, to motivate, to take pride in our basketball facilities and try to do things and the fundraise and do all those things. But you know what I didn't have in my early 20s? Someone who had grown up at Uniota, I didn't have any understanding of the Paint Valley culture.
Yeah.
So I didn't have any understanding on how to reach the Paint Valley athlete and how to balance some of the loves that the community had elsewhere and some different things there. And so I think a lot of times what's helped me as I've gotten older, when I went to say 5 years later, take on the challenge of building the baseball program, I had a lot more of those things and it really helped me. Where I think the question you asked makes a lot of sense. If you're hiring within there in the Adina, the Westfall, I think a lot of those people have some of that understanding of culture and that relationships in terms of building that. I think that can go a long way in doing some of those things. So that'll be interesting. I've heard from reliable sources at both places that the list of candidates has been long.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to more than have. And I think it goes back to what I'm saying. The SVC is a well-known conference. We do it better than most. If you're wanting to be a basketball coach, especially a boys basketball coach, there's only 8 opportunities. So when one comes open, I could see where it's certainly going to be sought after.
This is another question. Is it if you're on the administration side, change hats for a second, would you rather have somebody, is this always true that you'd rather have somebody from inside? Is that always true?
Well, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind when you ask that question, something you've heard me say on here before, you know, 15, 20 years ago, you probably, it probably is a situation where you'd like to have a teacher, mm-hmm. either one that you hire in. Nowadays, what happens, though, Bruce, is with the cuts on staff and so forth, a lot of times it's harder to bring in. A lot of times it's you feel more comfortable, man, if we can bring in this coach that works over here, I don't have to worry about cutting a staff member or so forth. I think one of the biggest things is when communities put together some committees. I'm not saying that committees should hire a coach or whatever. I'm just saying committees should offer some perspective to different things. You've heard me say before that, you know, if people are a superintendent or a board member, or, you know, they have far more to worry about than who's coaching basketball. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things when it comes time to do this. I think a lot of times if you can get some feedback from multiple people, parents, community members, staff members, so forth there, I think that kind of gives you an idea of that culture I'm talking about too. So that always impresses me when I see a school, even if it's just for show, you know, when I see a school put together something like that, that tells me that they're putting a little stock into it and some ownership.
All right. Well, like this person did, you're welcome to send your questions in. Send them to admin1@svcsportszone.com, and we'll see what we can do to get them on here. Next, we have a short but interesting email that is questioning Shane on something he said last week. Well, last week, Shane, we talked a lot. I guess it was the 6-on-6 football. We talked about some other different lacrosse programs being added and so forth across the state. And that brought about this email that we got here. It says, "Don't understand the problem with adding sports. The more kids playing something, the less they're in trouble, correct?" And I'm sure you kind of have some response to that.
Well, yeah, first of all, If you haven't had a chance to listen last week, we're on, I think you said in the opening show, 156.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So 155 last week, there was a great email, and Bruce did a good job breaking it down and asking me parts at a time. And it was talking about, you know, getting kids involved and making them be true to it and demanding that they go to practice and demanding that they take roles and having some discipline and so forth. So I just wanted to touch on that because I think there's something that really is going to kind of lend itself back to that here in just a second. But I guess first to attack this question, it's one that in the perfect world, I would say, well, sure. Yeah. To be, when I was an athletic director or when I served on some sports counseling groups, the more sports, the more kids playing, less problems. We always talk about if they're involved in things, we're all on the same page. That's great. But you have to understand in a small school, there's a couple questions that you have to take a look at here. What are we offering and what are we all in on? Mm-hmm. You know, so what happens is when I go back to last week's email and we're talking about two different things here. The one, they're asking about like the 8-on-8 or the 6-on-6 or the 9-on-9 football and the extra sports. What's the big deal? More kids play. But the reason I bring up last week's email is all of a sudden when we're talking about how we want to demand 100%, you're all in, you're coming to practice, you're doing this, you're doing that, you know, if you start to spread your athletes too thin at these small schools, a lot of times what happens is you have trouble getting full rosters. I mentioned the junior high. I mentioned the JV issues. So a lot of times I've coached in baseball programs here, Bruce, at small schools where we've had 9 kids on the JV team.
Wow.
Well, if a kid misses practice on Tuesday, the hardcore rule sheet says, they don't play. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if they don't play on Wednesday, the team doesn't.
Yeah.
And as long as you're okay with that as a school, and as long as you're okay with calling Huntington or Zane Trace or Uniota there and saying, hey, Paint Valley can't play tonight because we don't have this. You know, those are all the different things that happen that I see it all the time. I know you're involved in a lot of things in school. If it's one of those things where you need X amount of kids to make, you know, a play go forward, or, you know, for the band to do this particular thing, or for the basketball team to do this. It sounds great to have that rule sheet to where we say this, this, and this, but I think you have to understand as a school, what are we offering and what are we all in on? Because as soon as you don't, I think you spread your athletes thin, you spread your resources. You heard me mention that word a second ago, thin. And then now all of a sudden you're setting certain programs up to fail. And as long as I guess you're willing to support that concept of, you know, and I'm not going to mention schools here, but there are some schools that come to my mind that do this pretty well. They basically say, look, we're going to do this, this, and this really well. Mm-hmm. Now, we want all of our kids to have an opportunity. We're also going to offer this, 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 and this over here. Oftentimes, they don't have full teams. They offer this. They do this. They do that. And it, at least from the outside, it appears that everybody's on the same page with that, and they kind of understand that. So, yeah, I hope I make sense there, Bruce, in terms of what I'm saying. I think it's awesome to have as many kids playing a sport as possible. I just think sometimes what happens is when we start offering everything, you can really start to spread kids out, and you lose a little bit of that discipline that last week's email is so badly wanting.
Yeah, when I read this, I couldn't help but think, I mean, if, you know, it sounds, I mean, in a perfect world, if we had the resources, if we had the people to staff it, if we had the parents, the booster groups to help out, because that's a reality in our world. Then yes, I think that we can add everything and anything that kids want to do. However, this isn't a perfect world. And, you know, I start thinking about, you know, you got to have another bus. You got to, you know, have another coach. You got to have more locker rooms. I mean, yeah, I think even the writer would probably, you know, agree there that it just makes it tougher, and then you lose that ability to discipline. Like you mentioned, you know, you miss practice on Tuesday night, you don't play on Wednesday, and now the team doesn't play. So all of a sudden, you really haven't helped. You've maybe helped some of those kids that are playing the JV ball or something like that, but you got eight people there that are missing their game because you're trying to hold the line on the discipline issue.
And again, if that's the goal,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Discipline wise, if the hardcore person says, well, that's exactly right, you know, those eight are going to learn the same way that if you don't invest, that's fine. That's what I'm saying. Oh, you have to be willing as a school and as a community to be all in on those concepts, excuse me. That's what I'm talking about. What are we offering? What are we all in on? Because if you're not, then you can really have a problem, because you just said it, and you said it really well. As soon as you have another program, well, you have to all these other resources. They want the same thing.
Yeah.
You heard me. What makes a great basketball job? Well, if someone's going to take on an 8-on-8 football program, I assume that they're going to want some equipment.
Yeah.
They're going to want some busing. They're going to want some paid assistance. They're going to want a JV opportunity or a junior high opportunity. So, yeah, it's a great discussion. On the surface, the email sounds simple, and that's where I was trying to come across with last week's email was, you know, in the perfect world, last week's email as well as this week's email seems like it's well, yeah, logical answer.
Yeah.
But it's not. That's the point I was making with what happens in the high school sporting scene compared to your club sport or your little league or your community leagues. That's an awesome discussion that I'd like to see develop even further on future weeks of the show.
Yeah. I guess one of the takeaways here is we're just not in a perfect world, are we? It's just that's what it is. It would be great. And when we discuss these things, we can kind of talk about the perfect world situation, and then reality hits. So we'll keep after that. So any more follow up behind that, we would love to hear from you. Are we wrong? Do you agree with us? We would love to hear from you. Shane, let's go to extra innings.
Yeah, sounds good. Extra innings segment brought to our listeners, as always, by Crown Hill Golf Club, located on U.S. Route 22. That's west in Williamsport, just minutes from 104. I tell the fans, really go check their website out there. Just go to the Crown Hill Golf Club website. They have some incredible deals going on right now. You could also just give them a call, 740-986-GOLF. That's 740-986-4653. You want to ask for Dave or Kevin, tell them SVCSportsZone.com sent you, because, again, they have some really, really good deals going on right now. They take advantage of some of these good weather weekends this time of year, and they'll get you on there nearly for free sometimes, it feels like. So, yeah, with that in mind, Bruce, we kind of spread it around the spring sports and some spring topics. So if you're okay with that, let's go to this week's version of Extra Innings.
It is constantly being said that we have some of the best baseball and softball in the entire southern part of the state. Why are we not getting more kids to the next level?
Well, I guess my first this was actually coming to me through a text this week, Bruce, from a big-time sports fan here locally, someone who has kind of a connection to multiple schools, multiple sports, going back almost 30 years. So this was a question that I had high-level respect for. But I guess my first reaction was I would argue that we're getting more than you think to the next level. I would love to try to count them all up, say, in the last, 5 to 10 years. But I do think it's a fair question, because if you look at our SBC signings page, and we don't get them all, obviously, but you know, if you look out through the area, some of our elite athletes are choosing the basketball route or the football route, or just choosing not to play at all. And you know, to answer the question, I guess that I look at it probably a little bit of a spring sport culture, because you know, at the next level, a lot of times the money and some of the different things are not available in the spring sports the way they are for, say, a volleyball player, a football player, a basketball player. But again, I think some of the pressures and some of the focus of the communities and the families and the finances and the expectation kind of just leading them more toward a football, basketball, volleyball, those types of things. So it's a little bit of that spring sport, just not maybe getting the mention. I also think it's a little bit more of a summer ball type of thing. A lot of the recruiting that's happening in these sports are taking place more in the summer ball. And other sports, when you're a 2-3 sport athlete, a lot of times you're going to your shootouts in the summer, your 7-on-7, so forth. That makes it a little bit tough to maybe get out there and get, you know, be seen if you're that 2-3 sport athlete.
With the first half of baseball and softball in the book, it's time for our Jeremy Ward special, saying, who do you believe is the forerunner for player of the year?
We do always get this in sports, just because I think fans like the topics and so forth. But I always think of Jeremy's response that year where, you know, he didn't want any part of it halfway through. Softball's pretty simple here, Bruce. It's with Blevins, Uniota, Newland, and Paint Valley. Those two have really kind of separated themselves. You do have some depth there at Westfall. You've had some kids there at Zane Trace that are solid, but let's not kid ourselves. These two have really separated themselves in a hurry, statistically and performance-wise. You know, Blevins had the inside track there at the halfway point, but now all of a sudden Westfall's win kind of opens things back up a little bit. So they obviously go head-to-head Wednesday. It's hard to say right now, but those two are certainly in the mix. Now, baseball is a little bit more confusing, because what you have is, like with the Dean and Zane Trace at the top, you have such incredible balance. When you look at Corey and Thomas, even Wilburn off to a great start at the plate. Zane Trace, the addition of Mowry this year has taken an already crazy athletic. I mean, usually what happens in baseball, Bruce, is as your career goes on, you're moving from second to shortstop. When you start going from shortstop to second, what that does is it makes for a really, really athletic defense. And that's what's happened there with Mowry coming back and Wolf moving over and some of the athletes they have. Brooks has had a dominating start on the mound. But obviously McFadden wins it last year. He's been every bit as valuable this year for Paint Valley. So I'll tell you what's going to be more crazy than sorting that out. Wait until the end of the year and you see the list of second team players in baseball, as well as honorable mention. You're going to have a list of second team and honorable mention that any coach would take out and compete against just about anyone throughout Southeast Iowa. I mean, it's going to be a really, really impressive list. So the depth in this year's league is pretty impressive.
It seemed like a quiet week on the track. What performance did you find to be most noteworthy?
It did seem quiet. Again, schedules are so spread out. I know you get into some different proms and some different things, so some of the weekend stuff's not as much. I also see a lot of SVC schools maybe spreading out, so a lot of times you have to look a little deeper into your bombs page stuff. But I guess I just continue to be impressed by some of the star power of the smaller schools. Look, I mean, Uniota's running on some of the bigger stages. Some of their incredible performances I've seen, kids setting some records and posting some pretty impressive things. As they start to walk onto the track come SVC time, I know that they're going to kind of spread the points out a little bit. I mean, they're going to start to put a couple people into the finals of each event, and that's going to knock some things out. But I guess what I've been really impressed with, say, like in Adena Boys, what they did over at Chillicothe the other night. Obviously, Hall, Free, Isaac Thomas, some of those. You heard me mention it with like Hatfield, Knott, some of the Paint Valley kids earlier. But like what Adena Boys are doing. You know, again, I know some of the bigger schools will spread that out, but I guess it's just going to be unique league meet for me to see are some of these small school stars, for lack of a better word, able to kind of maybe move up the standings a little bit. So I guess it's just kind of a wait and see thing. But you know, when you look at their times and you look at some of their the numbers they're posting, it's competitive. So that'll be kind of a wait and see, I guess.
Considering how much pitching impacts the outcome of games, would you favor a back-to-back schedule like some of the other conferences are using?
Now, this was actually an email from outside the area. Really interesting for people that don't know. Other conferences have flirted with different scheduling concepts, you know, be it a Monday-Tuesday back-to-back or maybe a Monday-Wednesday or you know, basically, there's a lot of ways you can do it, but the basic concept is you put the, say, Uniota and Zane Trace would play Monday, Tuesday, or Monday, Wednesday. And the idea, it wouldn't affect softball really, but in baseball, it would force the number one to throw one night and the number two to throw the next, or maybe even get a number three involved in relief or something. You might even argue in softball, you know, they always say the more at bats you get, the advantage switches maybe from the pitcher to the hitter. You might say in softball that if you're going to see a Michaela Newland, seeing her three times on Monday and then coming back, seeing her three times on Tuesday might at least help the hitter a little. I don't know. But, you know, I don't know. It's something that until I've tried it, I don't want to knock it here. I've never really coached under that format because I've been in the SVC all but 1 year of my 20 years. But I still think rain would be a big factor in those particular things. I still think you'd end up going some things. But I tell you, it would give you an interesting tournament feel because as you start to get to that district level, it's very difficult to ride that one arm anymore with the way they do it now. So, you know, you need that second and third arm. So it might be a little bit more of a tournament run type of lineup for you throughout the year. So I probably don't know enough about it to say. I'm just kind of going on a feel of coaching high school baseball, but it does make for some interesting conversation because, you know, when you get that good weather, you can get that one arm out there Monday, Friday. That is interesting.
All right, that is our Extra Innings, brought to you, of course, by Crown Hill Golf Club, located on Route 22 West in Williamsport. You know, Shane, as we were going through that and you were answering the question, it just dawned on me, or a question came up in my mind. I always wonder, what percentage of high school athletes do make it to the next level? Do you have any idea what it would be? And if not, maybe just take a stab at it. I mean, what would you say?
Well, I tell you, I can only go off of.
I mean, you've had years of experience watching
right.
this.
I mean, basically, if I look through, say, all the athletes, percentage wise, I would say it's less than 10% for sure. It's probably less than 5%. But see, here's the other thing that happens too, Bruce. A lot of times, I know you'll end up getting, just say like a Paint Valley alone, we'll get four or five athletes that will go with the idea of playing college mm-hmm. athletics, yeah. but don't even make it through the first year. So I think that's another number. So what are the number of kids that go away throughout the SVC with the idea of playing and then don't even make it through? And I hate that because I think sometimes what happens is it's the expectation of – we all get our picture there at the table. We've seen those pictures, yeah. right? You sure. know, we all get our picture at the table. They'll put the fancy banner down and we'll sign it. Mom and Dad will be there and we'll get our picture on SVC Sports Zone or in the Gazette or on KKJ. And that's fine and dandy. But then what happens is I'm afraid sometimes these kids are going away to a school that they don't want to be at academically. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden when the athletic thing doesn't work out, it doesn't go. So, yeah, I would say on top of your question – because yeah. it's a small number, I would say on top of that, I would love to know even how many of those kids make it through the first year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that would be a much smaller percentage. It's just got to be, just for all the reasons you just elaborated there. Well, I want to remind everyone that's listening that you can, of course, and we always request, provide us input for the show. You can get us, communicate through us, to us, rather, through Facebook. Shane has two different profiles there, his Shane Combs profile and the SVCSportsZone.com profile. You can get us on Twitter and email. We already mentioned that. That's at admin1@SVCSportsZone.com. And you can call us on the DBK Media Services number, 740-569-3254. Leave us a message there. We can let us know, too, as you're talking, if you'd like us to not use your audio or whatever. We can convert your audio into a question ourselves, that kind of thing. So we would love to have the input. And you can see the last two shows in particular, it seems like, have been pretty much just responding to questions, input, texts, whatever, for us, and that makes for a good and interesting show, I think. Hey, last week, unfortunately, we talked a little bit about vandalism to Unioto's, I believe it was their baseball facilities, and one person this week was asking Shane what role or what right schools and coaches have to discipline kids for actions that happen away from school, outside of school time.
This is a great question that actually had come about in a community discussion and then got back to me. I guess this had broken out one night at a game a little bit, not even one that I was involved in, and some people overheard it, and then they kind of passed it my way. So I thought that we'd go ahead and have this question brought to our listeners by C&K Athletic Equipment. Again, that's cnkathleticequipment.com. Give them a call, 740-477-9828. And, you know, Bruce, I guess when I look at this as a coach, I think so. You know, you look at it as something that you're representing your school, and you always try to teach your kids to be a part of something bigger than yourself. But I guess the part that I would go back to, or what are some of the legal parts of that? What would be the administration type of answer to this? I know a lot of times you have handbooks and some different things that might protect you and passing out some discipline, but I would think so, and I would think in most cases that parents would support that in terms of trying to create an opportunity and a learning experience. But I guess who knows when it comes to that. But I guess I would turn the question back to you, just as a community member, Bruce, and a fan. You know, would you find yourself bothered if something major? Because again, we're not talking about something, you know, just a little picky thing or whatever. Right. We're talking about a pretty serious thing here. If they're going to use the Unioto thing as an example, how do you feel as a community member if you know something like this has been proven and something's happening, and you go to an event and you still see those types of kids representing the school that you've called home for basically all your life? I mean, that's got to be something that would bother you, I would think. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, as you were talking about it, it dawned on me. You know, let's say that you're going to pitch a particular pitcher. You know, you've got your in your mind. You know, his number's coming up on Wednesday night or whatever, and that kid gets in trouble, and that just really blows the team up, blow your season up, and you're the coach. It can put you in some moral dilemmas, can't it? Couldn't it?
Well, it can, and those are the types times where, you know, you heard me say all in.
Yeah.
Those are times though, as a coach, where again you understand all in, that you have to make sure that you're doing things that sends the right life lesson to everybody involved. Yeah. You know, it's some of those things that we're all competitive, but I think we all understand the bigger picture of what we're doing here. Again, we're as competitive as anybody, but I know very few coaches, when it comes to something as serious as that, that would not step out in front of a situation and go. And again, now keep in mind, a high school coach, the word power scares people to death, but the high school coach is also working for the administration, working for the Board of Education, and a lot of times how they see, you know, how things should be handled and so forth certainly play a role into that. But yeah, if you're just asking me my opinion, sure, I have the right, yeah, I have the right. I fill out the lineup card. I can do, you know, whatever I want. And at the end of the day, I guess it goes back to how will that be viewed and supported and so forth. And unfortunately, in today's time, you'd probably get a little bit of positive and negative feedback. Yeah.
I imagine there are those people out there that would not agree with it particularly. And unfortunately, again, here we go with conditional ethics, but it also matters what that kid's role is on the team, doesn't it? I mean,
when I was a younger coach, Bruce, obviously I won't use the example because there might be people that still are aware of it. I once had a parent, this is a true story. I once had a parent look at me. I was about a 25-year-old head coach that says, "Coach, sometimes you just have to look the other way."
Yeah.
True story.
Not good.
Yeah.
Not good. All right. Let's go to our post-game comments. Again, brought to you by the Crown Hill Golf Club. And you can check out their website, crownhillgolfclub.com. Anytime you visit up there, tell them that SVC Sports Zone sent you. Talk to Kevin or Dave, and they would treat you right, or so Shane says. So I heard him say almost free. So we're going to take advantage of that.
Almost. Before Kevin falls out of his chair listening to the show, I did use the word almost.
Yes. How much is an almost? We'll find out. But anyway, we have, we know we've had a list of a few other things that we didn't get to this week. And you want to share some of those?
Yeah, really a fun list. There was a lot of little feedback, Bruce, about the 8-man football. People were intrigued by it. Huh. And it was all kind of, for lack of a better word, kind of vague. And I wasn't sure what direction to go with it. So I thought I'd throw it out there a little bit more. People are really, really intrigued by this idea of how serious it is and so forth. And you can go and look. A great follow on Twitter is the OHSAA and Jerry Snodgrass and some of those guys. A lot of times you'll get some feedback on terms of what they're talking about in their meetings and so forth. So that's one thing that I would like a little bit more detail, I guess. Junior high baseball, people asking me, you know, how far that it's come and is it a good thing? Am I seeing improvements into the high school game? The idea of basketball, open gym, volleyball, open gym, AAU ball, club sports. Here's a good one. Umpires. Should a baseball umpire make more money the time of games? Should a baseball umpire make more than the softball umpire? Because the argument here, I guess I'm speaking for the person who sent this, is we're losing a lot of umpires on the baseball side because they all want to go to the softball game. They're in and out hour and a half. Some of these, especially, you know, you get to the wrong pitching night.
Right.
You might be 3 hours in. I think I heard you say you guys tried a game the other night online, right?
Yeah, we did.
You came up on the 3-hour mark, yeah. And it was a close game. It was a good game.
Yes, it was.
And then another one I had written down here was golf swing affecting the baseball swing. Do I think – is it a bad thing to let kids play golf during baseball season? You know, so those are some of the things that I didn't get to. I thought I would throw them out there a little bit and see what kind of feedback that maybe would come in a little bit more detail.
Well, when you think back to what we've talked about here, anything particularly stand out to you?
Well, I guess I love the link between last week's big email and a couple of the concepts that came in. I guess that goes back to the 8-man football as well, because that's what generated this person's email this week. But I think what's really interesting, the debate of discipline from coaches today with parents involved, I think that's what made last week's email one of the best emails we've had in the gosh, what are we in, five years now?
Yeah.
The five-year history of SVC Sports Talk, because it was an email that didn't just make for one great show.
Yeah.
It's an email that I think we're going to find ourselves going back to on at least one or two topics every week for many weeks to come. And I think that's something to make. So if I take a look at the list I just read off, all of those things are things that maybe I would love to get some feedback for. But I guess more of what's the connection of coaches today in terms of coaching in the high school setting compared to the community setting, and what are some of the challenges that it presents there? Because there's been some interesting documentation throughout the entire country of where people believe we're not that far off in our society over the next 10, 15, 20 years of a lot of high school programs going to the side and the club sports starting to take over more and more. So with that in mind, boy, does that get you thinking about some of these concepts. And the last week's email certainly did that with me.
Yes, it did. And I guess any of this feedback, I mean, we're looking for it all, and you can get hold of us through Facebook, through Twitter, through email. I mentioned the phone number, 740-569-3254. And then if you happen to be someone who was lucky enough to have Shane's phone number, you can either give him a call, or also you can send him a text. So,
and I guess, you know, I never have mentioned that on here, but that doesn't bother me at all. I mean, it's used for the website purpose. It's 740-244-0194. That doesn't bother me at all to throw that out there and to give people that opportunity. Because I guess what I find, again, over the 5-year history, a lot of times people have a lot to say and a lot to ask, but they like to do it in the most quiet way possible. Sure. You wouldn't know it on a Friday night if you're sitting behind them, but you know, in terms of actually asking the question, they kind of like to hide behind the wall, I guess.
Yeah. Well, if there's anything, you know, when you need to go back and listen to show 155, probably to pick up on a lot of the stuff that we've talked about this week on 156, because of that big email that has generated so many tentacles of discussion here tonight. So do that if you've not done that. So that's going to put a wrapper on this episode, episode 156 for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as all the other sponsors. Everyone here at DBK Media Services, for, of course, Shane Combs, this is Bruce Knox reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk, and visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.